happy,
isn't it? Right? He just can't help himself. You can spend all morning thinking about parts of the body and things that cause us to sin. But what Paul is thinking about generally is this, that Christians know forgiveness of sin. We're told that we're forgiven of our sin. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we are free from sin, that we stop sinning. You know, we're all, each one of us, saints and sinners. And Paul recognises that, and he's encouraging his readers to try to live changed lives, live differently. And the word, the theological word which describes that is the process of sanctification, change. Trying to be better people, you know, more patient with each other, kinder to each other, don't kick the cat, all that kind of stuff. What Paul is saying is that Christianity isn't about just about experience, it's about a way of life, it's choosing to live differently. And so it's okay to feel uplifted as we come to church and sing hymns, but that's just the start of a commitment to try to be better people, to be changed in our daily lives. Now, the problem is that sin is all around us. It's everywhere, and it's extremely complex. Sin isn't just about not doing bad things. It's about making sure that we do good things. There are sins of commission, and there are sins of omission. Sin isn't just about me not doing bad things. It's about me not feeling great about myself because I don't do bad things like those other dreadful people who do. It's about me not feeling I'm better than other people, perhaps people who have not tried to understand and I'm quick to condemn. Sin is about me thinking that what I do is good and the way I behave is good. And the way other people behave is bad. And perhaps trying to prove that God's on my side by quoting the Bible to justify my life. So, you know, sin is very, very complicated. It's not easy. And it gets harder the more you think about it. I don't know if you read the newspapers this week, the story of a lady who was shopping in Primark and she bought a dress and there was a little thing sewn in the label. Did you read this? Yeah, don't some of you read the newspaper, switch on the television? No? No? Okay, well, those of you who do will know what I'm talking about. She bought a dress with a little label and someone had sewn into it, you know, help us. I can't remember the exact words, but, you know, we're all slaves making these dresses. You know, they're keeping us confined and we're forced into all kinds of terrible labour. And Rebecca from Porthcawl said, I used to shop at Primark, but not so much now. The labels made me think about how clothes are made. To be honest, I've never really thought much about how clothes are made. This really made me think about how we get our cheap fashion. Sin isn't just sort of not shoplifting or something. You know, there are really, really big sins. And as we look at the world and the world in which we live in, we see displaced peoples, nations where everything seems to be going so dreadfully wrong. And you know, you look at that whole problem of the Middle East, which just seems to be now engulfed in war. And whether you believe that we should not have been involved or we should have been involved. Either way, we were involved and now we're not involved. And we've got a corporate share in what's going on there and the lives which are being lost. I mean, apparently, they've brought back crucifixion in some of these places. You know, you can't believe that kind of thing is going on. And we're watching the World Cup at the moment, aren't we, in Brazil? And very good it is too. But whilst we enjoy the football, we're reminded that Brazil is, whilst it's in the top of the world, in the top 10 of the world economies, it remains one of the most unequal countries on the planet. It's one of those places where the mega rich really, really thrive, but the poor are abjectly poor. Some 16 people live in real, real poverty in Brazil. And I'm not just talking about not having, you know, Sky TV or anything like that. This is proper poverty. And in Brazil, 3% of the population own 2/3 of all the arable land. And that means that the poor farmers and things are really, really in desperate straits. So how can we seek to be the kinds of people that God calls us to be in this very complex world where sin is so complex and so global? A world in which my choice of which T-shirt, or not dress, but, you know, whatever clothes we buy, impacts so profoundly on the lives of others who are perhaps in almost slavery in other parts of the world. And I think if you look at it this way, you can sometimes perhaps become a bit disillusioned and say, well, what can I do in this colossal mess that we find ourselves? And so we turn then to Matthew, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, and starting at verse 14, we see Jesus talking. And Jesus puts it in really simple and beautiful words. He says, the act of giving a cup of cold water is recognized by God and is a good thing. So even the small act of giving a cup of cold water. And Jesus says, doesn't he? He says, even a cup of cold water. He knows it's a small act, but he says that has cosmic eternal significance. You know, even if you just give a cup of cold water, it has its eternal reward. And so, you know, we often imagine that discipleship is about huge sacrifice, great feats of discipleship. And sometimes that's what it is. But you can just do wonderful discipleship in small ways, make a difference in small ways that are noticed by God. It's an act of kindness, perhaps a hug to someone who's grieving. It might be a listening ear to someone who's going through a difficult time, offering a ride to someone who hasn't got a car. Perhaps it's volunteering in Storybox or Open House, or making a donation to Christian Aid. These are all heroic ways that are quite small that we can all do. And so what Jesus is saying is every single one of us can make a difference. And don't demean small acts because they're important. What Jesus is saying is that the Christian life is made up of 1,000 small gestures. They're all really, really important. Except, of course, that there's no such thing as a small gesture. Even giving a cup of water to someone is important. Anything done in faith has eternal significance. It's not our task to save the world, thank God, that we leave that to Jesus, but we're encouraged to make a huge difference just in the place that we are. And even a smile can make a big difference to someone else's life. And I know that each one of you, you all do these things in so many different ways, already making a huge difference to people's lives in our own community through acts of love and mercy and compassion, helping hands and listening ears. And I just want to finish off with one last little thought, that there is something else going on here where Jesus is talking, because he talks about receiving a righteous man, and you get a righteous man's reward, and receiving a prophet because he is a prophet, and giving a cup of cold water to someone because he's on Christ's business. I think if you were in one of these communities and someone turned up and they were a disciple of Jesus and they came to you and you were offered them an act of kindness, it would be noted that you were helping somebody who was on Jesus' side. And so you're actually engaged in an act of collaboration with Jesus and his movement of people. So it's not just the act of kindness, it's also the fact that it's a statement of acknowledging the person and who they are, that they're a representative of Jesus. And so it's about showing collusion with those who are engaged in Christ's work, being prepared to stand alongside those who are proclaiming faith. And I suppose the question that we ask ourselves this morning, are we willing to take risks and sacrifices also for our faith and to stand up for Jesus? Amen.